wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live this May 4th, 2019. Live from a beautiful, sunny Blue Sky Radio Ranch. We welcome you here. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I hope you guys have some blue skies down there. I know you got a little more snow and whatnot this past week as well, I think. Rain and whatnot. So a little bit of rain, a little bit of snow this week, a little more in the forecast. That is springtime out here in the West. And no, we've had drastic weather all over, tornadoes in Texas and whatnot, but we thank you for joining us this morning. We'll have the phone lines open, and we'll kind of go from there. Well, Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer, we'll move on from there.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask for your blessing upon this prayer meeting, this coffee meeting this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do and all that we say. We pray that you just tend to our needs, tend to the needs of the saints. We pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm, and we just ask that you just continue to guide us and direct us in all that we do, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you tend to the needs of the saints across this land, that you just allow their cup to overflow with blessings from your throne, Father. We pray that you just see to it that teeter-totter transfer takes place, and Father, that you lift the saints up higher and higher and bring the snakes down lower and lower. We pray for our branch and gathering and just ask, Father, for you to just lead, guide, and direct and on every step of the way. And for those that are going to be traveling out there, Father, we pray that you just do a work and tend to their needs and see to it that they can just look forward to it. And, Father, we go ahead and we take the authority we have in Jesus Christ's name, and we bind any unclean spirits from being able to attend. And we pray, Father, just a hedge of protection around that gathering, a shield of light, to bring a fire that no evil can penetrate. and we just hold up that shield of faith, and we call for those fiery darts of the evil ones that often try to attack and cause havoc, Father. We just call for them to be extinguished. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen.
Amen. And amen. And Remnant, that is May 31st, June 1st and 2nd, Branson. We've got the rooming list in, and just how it is, you know, the day after I send it in, I get another text. Hey, is there room for one more? And we told that brother, yeah, there was room for one more. So if by chance you've missed it so far, well, you might just have missed it. It's as simple as that. But we are gathering there in Branson that first weekend in June, looking forward to it, looking forward to a family reunion. That's sure what it seems like to be. Getting back together with the family of Christ, for fellowship and praise and worship and sound biblical teachings. You know, praise God. That was one thing that our pastor sure pushed and promoted, and that was one of the bases for this ministry. It might not be politically correct, but it's going to be biblically correct. And we're doing our best to continue on in that lane as well. Well, Remnant, we have got the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you want to give us a call, if you have a comment or something you want to talk about, and we'll sure work on getting to that. Saw the headlines this morning, and I can sure agree with it. They say unemployment is at the lowest it's been in about 20-plus years. For just about all classes, they break it out. They say unemployment for Hispanics is low. Well, la-di-da, good for that. But for other minorities, and they say for whites as well, for the Caucasians. You don't see that in the headlines too much. But unemployment, 3.6%, which is lower than it's been. And I know here in Laramie, there's want ads out. There's jobs you check online, you see in the newspaper. When you drive around town, you'll see help wanted, now hiring signs, those type things. I know several small business owners that still have job openings. They've hired people, and the people are working, and they still have work. I was explaining to my daughter that one sure sign of a good economy is there was a line at the donut shop. Laramie's got a little Daylight Donuts, a little donut shop where they make them there. And it's funny, you can kind of gauge the economy by how the donut shop is doing. And there were 10 people in line yesterday morning. I did. I stopped and got a dozen donuts. And but we had that conversation. And I even mentioned it to him. That it sure seems like things are doing better when you have a line of people, and he said it's never been better.
That's good.
Yeah. You can see that these numbers in the media, you can, but when you see it face to face, when you see businesses that boom, you know, I think, Jason, of that little coffee shop and pie shop that expanded down there, they, you know, Remnant Pastor used to talk about, if you've been around, that there were two bars and two churches in LaPorte. And ours was one, of course, is one of the churches. Well, one of those bars got leveled. And they built a new coffee shop, pie shop, little lunch place there. And it, you know, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sure seems like it is thriving in that little community. Seems like
it is. It really is. I know that. Last week I had somebody stop by to get me a cup of coffee on their way over here, and it was on a Saturday morning, and they had to wait 30 minutes to get a cup of coffee, and I called and said, hey, where you at? And they said, oh, I just got out of there. I'm on my way. I said, well, if I knew it was going to take that long, I would have went without the coffee. But
sure.
It was, the place was just packed all the time.
Yeah. And you know, you've heard John mention from the pulpit a reprieve with this last election, a reprieve that has been given to the American people. The yoke has been maybe kind of lightened a little bit. we get a little agricultural paper, the fence post, and even in the environment, wetter than normal El Nino season leads to some decent Colorado River Basin flows. And when you look at the maps, you look at the the water year precipitation, what we've had this year in the for the Colorado River Basin. Now, you may think, what's that got to do with anything? Well, the Colorado River Basin feeds not only Colorado and Wyoming, but it feeds like the whole southwestern states and Southern California. And, we've had 19 consecutive years of historic drought in this Colorado River Basin. And we've reported on it that the amount of water coming out, being taken out for agricultural purposes and for people, for commercial purposes, especially in Southern California, has continually grown and been more and more than the amount of rainfall going into it. And so it's almost like with the environment here in this Southwest, that it's almost a reprieve. When I saw this article, that's what I thought. I wrote it on the page here. A reprieve here also. Saw the fire forecast for this summer, and from Wyoming and Colorado south. Cooler temperatures, wetter temperatures wetter than we've had in the past. And so it is a bit of a reprieve. They're talking fire danger once we get on into August and along the West Coast and Northwest Coast. But we compare this year to the last several years. Much cooler, much wetter. And it just almost seems to me that, like, with the devastation that happened in Ohio or Iowa and Nebraska with the flooding, and that is going to make a major impact in this country with food prices, feed prices for cattle and for other animals. It is more devastating than most people realize. But it just seemed to me that with this, it's God that controls the weather. They talk about a wetter than normal El Nino. Well, it's God that causes that El Nino to be a little wetter or to be a little drier. Spring runoff forecast about 120% of normal. I know our snowpack here is up. You look way out to the south of us, to the Rewa Mountains. That's where our river water comes from and stuff, and it is still just packed in white with snow, and that's where the Poudre River gets fed from, and it's still packed in. And so we rejoice, but it does seem a bit of a reprieve. Economically, there's jobs, there's work. Even with the devastation in Nebraska, seems like maybe there's going to be a little bit more water for the southwestern United States and Southern California. And I think that it is. It's an opportunity. It's another blessing from God if the people will realize it. There's going to be no excuse on Judgment Day. And I think that, again, this is another reprieve. It's another, hey, I'm helping you out a little bit more, says God, and giving you just a little bit more, another, so that you're not begging bread, so that you're not doing without, having to rely on other countries. When we turn to God, we have to rely on nothing else. Jason,
yeah, that's the way it works. And we're living in exciting times, that's for sure.
We are. You know what? I've noticed you're working on your garden, and I remember the last couple of years you were not having a good garden, and it's nothing from you, but I remember you talking about it, the stuff just not, it not going well with you and with others that you would talk to. What are you seeing any different this year? Any difference?
Yeah, well, it's a little early to tell. last year was a kind of a strange year. It was interesting because certain things just didn't do good straight across the board. You're always learning and you're always making corrections, especially in the gardening field of things. And I was planting some time, so hopefully it'll be a good year. But I believe it's going to be. So that's about all you can do at this point in time.
Sure. Sure. Well, I know there's several. Spoke with the guy that runs the fairgrounds up here, and he is putting up a greenhouse. He said he's got his compost and soil ready, and he's getting the greenhouse up just as fast as he can. And he's in the agricultural business, and he does realize the devastation. He's trying to go ahead and buy, you know, a year's worth of animal feed now. Before the prices go up, before it really starts getting devastating. So more and more people, I think, are doing that, are trying to plant, trying to have their home gardens. And I think that's wise, as time goes on. So many people don't realize, especially these younger generations, just where food comes from. They think milk comes from the grocery store, and food as well. But it's gotta be grown and produced before it gets there. And so many people just
If you look really at the quality of the food, that's changed so much too. It's I think it's going to be more important even in the future, because I mean people have been doing the same thing over and over and over, and they're using they're growing crops which. You talk to them and it's like, well, I eat fresh vegetables. I go to the store and I get them. You look at what those vegetables have been grown in. And, I mean, it's the same thing over and over and over. They haven't added anything. They haven't given the land a rest. They're not putting anything back into the soil. You're growing something on depleted soil. You know, there's no health value to that at all. The only way that they can get it to grow is by synthetic fertilizers. And dumping more and more and more of those on the ground. I mean, and if you look at, I've, talked to several people that, that have done a lot of research on it, and it's, the ground is one of the worst drug addicts that we have in this nation, is because this ground will not grow anything unless you continue to dump synthetic fertilizers on it. And if you do, every year it needs more and more and more. You're not getting a nutritional value out of, not saying you can't get it, but it's far in between what you're getting as far as nutritional value out of even your vegetables nowadays. Now you can get, some organic stuff, some non-GMO stuff that is, but you're going to pay for it. And there's a lot of new technology that's making it really easy to grow your own gardens. I went over and seen a friend of mine that's grown vegetables in his garage in one of these grow tents. And I'll tell you what, the peppers and the tomato plants, I mean, just looked phenomenal. Because you're using good nutrients, you're using good soil. They're not growing under natural light, but it is a full spectrum light. And the Brix numbers on them were just off the charts. It was phenomenal, the nutritional value that was in this food. There's so many things like that I think that are going to be very important in the future. People are going to get it, need to get their vitamins and their minerals and their theirs from somewhere. And if they can do it themselves, well, that's going to be the best way to do it, and most cost effective too.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Yeah, you're seeing even in some cities and stuff, they're converting some parts of parks and areas into things like community gardens, and having it where, hey, you can come in and have your little 10x10 space. And so some places are trying to get the people to get more involved with that. That's for sure. And yeah, I wrote down, for quality food, you have to have quality soil. You have to have that foundation that you talked about. And, just pumping those fertilizers into it is not the way it works. It's not what gives you those good results. Well, Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. It's Coffee with the Wranglers, and, you know, whether it's the economy or gardens, you just never know what's going to get brought up here. And there's a phone call right there. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning, Richard. Hi. Good
morning, Joe.
Jason, how you doing? How you guys been?
Good. How are you, Joe?
Joe, just fine. Praising the Lord. Hey, you guys were talking a little about farmers. you drive up and down the country roads out here in PA, and you're closer to the soil than the farmer ever was. Even when you're in your truck going 60 miles an hour passing a field, these guys are like 10 feet up in the air in these air-conditioned stereo and GPS. I was talking to a guy. This will give you an idea how out of touch I am. He was telling me he went to a farm show, an expo, and he was looking at the tractors, and they're all pretty much guided by GPS. All the newer tractors, and he was saying he went and bought one. It's a Ford, brand new Ford. John Deere, I think. It's one of these mid-size tractors
right.
with the whole bit. And he told me he had to. The neighbor told him you know you ought to get yourself one of these 5-year insurance on this thing, like what do you call it, a warranty,
right?
In case it breaks down,
yeah.
You'll never be able to fix it. You got to have it. They could bring these car carriers, and they bring it to the factory to get it fixed. Because you, if you try and mess with it, you're probably going to make it worse than it is. Farmers are so out of touch with their land. And it's a strange paradox as well, because the farmers are actually, they're amongst the highest with regards to hazards because of the chemicals that they use. It's one of the most dangerous occupations in America.
Yeah, and it used to be, like you're saying, Joe, because of things like power takeoffs and hooking up equipment and things like that. But anymore, it's because of chemicals. It's because of
they treat the soil.
That's right.
As if it were simply something to hold the plant up.
Yep.
and once the plant is growing and stuff like that, and they nuke the soil around the plant. They basically they're just like the medical profession. They just medicate the plant, just devitalize the soil, kill all the microorganisms and the grubs and the worms, all that natural stuff.
Yep.
And the soil is basically dead. It's just they treat it like a petri dish. It's kind of like something to grow something in.
Right.
And they put salt fertilizers, and the fertilizers make the soil even worse because it prevents the soil from reacting with fungus, naturally occurring funguses that it's like a symbiotic relationship to the plant. These mycorrhizae, it destroys everything. Everything that's supposed to be in the soil and alive, and then once it kills everything, it goes down into the groundwater and poisons that.
Yeah, going back to those tractors too, Joe, it was funny because somebody was telling me the other day that they had one of those GPS-guided tractors, those big ones, and they were out. I don't know what they were doing, if they were planting. I think it'd be a little early for planting, but maybe they were planting, or maybe they were just disking or something, but... Anyway,
right.
The GPS system went down, and apparently it went down all across the United States for a couple hours, and it shut every one of those tractors down. There was certain models of certain tractors that they came out with that there was a bug in, and it shut them down just stone cold in the field, and they wouldn't move, and they couldn't get them disengaged, they couldn't get them to go into manual mode or anything, and they were stuck there for 3 to 4 hours, and it kind of gave a lot of those guys a reality check. They really started thinking about that after that happened. You know, I mean, it was one of those things. They just, you know, they were told that, oh yeah, those GPS, those satellite systems, you know, they never go down. This is the same technology that the military uses, and it never goes down. It's not going to be a problem. And well, sure enough, they learned otherwise.
That's right.
Yep. It's like having a vehicle, buying a brand new car or a brand new pickup, you know, with these electric windows and the keyless entry and everything, but all that is predicated upon having a good battery. What happens when the battery dies? Nothing. You can't get into your car. You can't get out of it, I don't think.
Yep.
You're stuck.
Well, and that's what I tell you what, it was neat, because I was looking at some tractors and stuff, and I ended up buying an old tractor the other day. But I went down to the John Deere dealership and I asked him, I said, I'm looking at this old tractor, but I said, I want to make sure that I can get parts for it. And, you know, we're talking a tractor that's older than I am, by, 11 years. And he told me that
I've got one from the early, I think it's the mid 30s. It's a 9N, old Ford 9N. And that thing is just, you can't kill it. The only thing you can do to really destroy that engine is to pour sugar in it.
Yeah, and on those engines, I'm not sure that would kill it.
Yeah, you know, right. Well, anyway, I was reading the Bible. I have been reading the Bible, getting into some pretty deep theology, for me anyway. And I'm looking into, what was I looking into? The book of John, I was reading Luke, chapter 4, here's my note, and where Jesus was tempted by the devil, and I looked up the word devil online here, and it's one of these Bible websites. And it's the word diabolos. And they have a really, really interesting little commentary here under word study. And if I could, I'd read it. It's number 1228, evidently, in the Strong's Concordance. Diabolos. In secular Greek, it means backbiter, i.e. an accuser, calumniator, in parentheses, a slanderer. And it literally means someone who casts through, i.e. making charges that bring down, quote, destroy, unquote. And it says, Satan is used by God in this plan as a predictable wind-up toy playing out his evil nature. And I thought that was so good. And that's something the Christians have to believe. They have to believe this. And they have to believe also, and Pastor Peter's always talked on this, the parable of the wheat and the tares. At some point, the Lord is going to get indignant, and he's going to grab Satan, and he's going to shake him around and say, hey, that's just enough. You've overstepped your prerogative. You're not doing what I told you to do.
That's right.
You're doing more and worse than I ever told you to do. And he's going to just bind them and lock them up.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Joe.
Throw away the key.
You know, you look at it, and you can, you know, God gives us the story of Sodom and Gomorrah for that very thing, for that, you know, to show that certainly our God is a loving God, so much that he gave everything he had for his people. He gave his only son. But our God also only puts up with so much. And
yep.
And Sodom and Gomorrah had gotten to the point, you know, when you read the story going up, he comes down and goes to visit. He stops by and sees Abraham on the way. And you know, he's talking to himself. He says, should I not tell my friend Abraham what I'm fixing to do? And that's what leads into, you know, Abraham saying, well, Lord, if there's, you know, 50 righteous and at least 10 righteous and whatnot, would you spare it? And there weren't, because, you know, God had, he said, I'm going to come down and see if what I've been hearing is true. I'm going to see it with my own eyes. And it was that.
Well, it's almost right like there. the whole town got the, they were after Lot and not him, but the three visitors. The whole town showed up.
Yeah,
so,
and that's what it is.
Actually knew.
And God only
exactly
put up. That's right.
There wasn't one righteous.
No.
Not,
he only
let
put
alone
up with
10.
It for so long.
They were all at Lot's house.
That's right. And then that was it. It was like the old Popeye. You know, I've taken all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. And
right.
And that was it. And people need to realize that today. That mm-hmm. that God is putting up with this because he is kind, because he is patient, not because he's slow. And the New Testament tells us that. He said it's not because he's slow, but because he's patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a time, just like with Sodom and Gomorrah, that... And the Bible talks about we have to work while it's day, you know, and so it's not just sunlight day, but we have to work while we still have the day, while we still have time. We have to work
right.
to get this message out to people, because there's
as long as it is called day.
That's right, because there's coming a time that it ain't going to be called day anymore. God's going to say, I've had it, and that's when the tares and the wheat come, the time of harvest. And he sends his reapers, and there ain't no rapture. Oh, Lordy, take me out. I'm just, you know, I'm going to fly away in the rapture. No, that's not what the Bible says. That might be politically correct, but the Bible says the ones that are taken are the tares. The evil is removed. And that is what is coming. On that day of harvest, it's the evil that is removed. And, you know, since you mentioned the tares and the wheat, is that not today? The proud, the haughtiness of the evil ones, the destroyers, those that come to steal, kill, and destroy, that want lawlessness, they want to be grouped in with each other. This Mayor Pete Buttigieg, this filthy faggot that Time magazine puts on their cover, oh, the new first family, and it's these two filthy faggots that openly sin before God and man, know better. But see, it's embraced, and the people today look and they, isn't that sweet? Oh, that's just how we have to be today. And, you know, Time magazine pushes and promotes it. They'll be talking about it in all the public fool system this next week, promoting their diversity, their death style, but it's. Those are the ones, those are the tares that stand up straight and tall and proud. And then the other ones that say, yes, we want to be like that too. We embrace that. We teach the children that. We have to do that. Let me tell you, you're going to go down, people. It is a death style. And you know, and it's not that the Christians are back here pushing and promoting this, you know, drawing this line. No, it's the left. It's the ungodly. It's the sinners that are doing that. Just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, doing more and more and more and more and more and on and on and that's how it is. That
and if they're circling around God's people, because basically they're smelling the demise. They think it's like Pastor Peter's analogy of the man who went to the doctor because he didn't feel good, and his diagnosis was, well, I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is you can take this pill and it'll make you feel better, but the bad news is you got 6 months to live. So they know, the enemy knows that he's doomed, but he's going to try to take as many of God's people with him as he can.
That's right. Well, Joe, thanks for your call. Appreciate it this morning. Hope you have a blessed weekend. All right. God bless.
Bye now.
Lines are open, folks, 307-745-5913 if you want to give a call. And if you have a comment or a question, then it really is that way, you know, regarding the rapture. That is one of the many false doctrines that are out there. You can't read through the scripture and get a good solid teaching that shows that. It's just the opposite, which is most of what you have out in the Judeo-Christian church world today, which is an oxymoron. It cannot exist. It is a spell that is upon the people. But it is the evil that is removed. It's as simple as that. That's what we read about time and time again.
Yeah, it was, you know, this week there was a video. I just posted it on the SFA Newswire, but it was Planned Parenthood supporters, and they were taunting a pro-life group with abortion chants and songs and boasted about having abortions, and this happened at the Texas University last month. The article starts out, it says, Students for Life posted a video this week of the incident on April 9th at the University of Texas San Antonio. The organization had put out 911 pink crosses to create a cemetery of innocence as a symbol for the number of abortions performed daily by Planned Parenthood. In the video, half a dozen people brandishing I Stand With Planned Parenthood signs stood in the middle of the grassy area with students milling around the middle of the day. I had an abortion, one woman yelled to cheers as she ran into the cemetery, jokingly pointing at one of the crosses, saying, there's mine right there. Another one said, I just love to have sex and abort fetuses. That's my number one kink, another woman said. And it goes on and on and on. But, I mean, it, you know, you talk about dividing the goats and the sheep. It's a pretty good you know, proof that that's exactly what's happening.
Yes.
You know, there's those that are out there that are supporting this Planned Parenthood. And, you know, it's the first time that I've seen actually supporters that come out and say, I stand with Planned Parenthood. I mean, talk about being bold. I haven't seen that before. I've seen a lot of people, you know, down here in Colorado and up in Wyoming, they protest those Planned Parenthood buildings on a very regular basis.
Yes.
People out there being and holding signs and you know, they try to get the word out there and try to educate people. Well, this is the first time that I've seen people that are actually picketing pro-lifers saying I stand with Planned Parenthood, and I just thought that was pretty crazy.
It is. I saw that, and I'm glad I got it posted to the Newswire, because it is sickening. But you're right, Jason. It shows, and see, there again, it's not, you know, it's the Christian that gets accused of being intolerant. It's the Christian that gets accused of being unloving. It's the Christian that gets accused of being, you know, not caring about others and wanting others to be able to do. But it's, you see, it's by their fruits. It's by their fruits you shall know them. And it is these ungodly, these that have denied God, and have been given over to a depraved mind that love death. The Bible says, those that hate me love death, says our God. They love death. And it's not only the Hollywood that pushes and promotes all these death and sin in their movies, but it's those that have been fed on that, and that knowingly embrace this death. It makes you want to puke, but it is a lesson, and it is something that people need to see, so that they realize that not everybody is like everybody else. It is as simple as that. There are those that come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that have, you know, no respect for life, no respect for law, they may be having fun now, what they think is fun now, But, you know, what are they going to do at the end of it? What are they going to do at the end of it? Well, again, folks, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Jason, I did see down in Colorado, they were pushing, and we had people sending me emails, and I saw it on social media and stuff, this Colorado vaccination bill, HB 12-1312, that was going to strictly limit, along the lines of California style, any and all exemptions to vaccinations. And the Colorado Senate was meeting, and they were expecting about 2 hours to talk about it. And there were hundreds lined up to protest it and to speak against it. And the note I saw was that it died in Senate. So it did not pass. It was not going to make it to the governor's desk. And so I was real glad to see that. And I think that was just either Thursday or Friday. I think it was just Friday that happened.
Yeah, it was.
And so that was good. You had mentioned when we kind of mentioned that earlier about, but there was another bill that did pass down there. What was that, a sex education bill or something?
Sex education bill, yeah. And going on back to the vaccination bill, basically the vaccination bill, they killed it for now, and they said it's abandoned and it's going back. But, you know, it's one of those things is what they like to do, and there's already talk on it. Oh, well, we just need to reword it. We need to change some of this things here and some of the things there and bring it back before the people. So it's not out of the woodwork. I mean, yeah, it is a victory because, you know, and it was basically, it was, they were saying it was going to pass. I mean, they said it was just a done deal. It was, you know, a miracle that it didn't pass. But anyway, you know, those things have a way of coming back around, you know, rather quickly. That was, you know, but it didn't, so that was a win. The sex education bill, though, that on the other hand, that was one of the bills that they did get passed. And it is, I know that they had to make some amendments to it. They said that they had to soften some of the language on it. So I'm not sure exactly what changes have been made to it, what it's going to entail. But they did say that one of the things that they were working on, and I haven't even been able to figure out if it did change or not, But the charter schools and the homeschoolers and stuff like that, they had basically zero exemptions where they couldn't opt out on this sex education program that they were trying to push. Basically, it was they were going to have a Colorado state mandated sex education program that was going to include, you know, homosexuality, transgenderism, things of that sort in it. And it was going to be mandatory for even the charter schools, the Christian schools, the non-denominational schools, the private schools that people spend, you know, boatloads of money to keep their kids away from stuff like this.
Right.
It was going to be mandatory for them, for the homeschoolers, everything. Now they said that they've made some changes to that where there is going to be some exemptions or some opting out of the program. Now, to what extent they did make changes to it, I don't know. You know, that's to be seen. But, you know, that was one that they did get it passed. So we'll just have to wait and see. And, you know, it's something to keep our eyes open to.
Yeah, the enemy never sleeps. And especially with the openly homosexual governor, Polis, down in Colorado. He had said this was what they were going to push and promote. And that's their plan. That's their plan. They are of their father, the devil, who is a liar from the beginning, and they come to steal, kill, and destroy. They come to steal your children, your grandchildren, in that public fool system. There are two genders, male and female. That's what God made. There are no others. There's psychiatric disorders, psychological disorders, but that's all that transgenderism is. It is demonic. It is not of God. His word says you're either for me or against me. You either gather with Christ or you scatter. And that scatters. It's as simple as that. It really is. And it is coming down to where again, it's not the Christian saying, hey, we demand this. We demand that. We demand you have the Bible in school. We demand you teach Jesus. No, it's none of that. It's the left, the ungodly, that continue to push and push and push and not only, you know, wanting to be able to sin themselves and get away with it, and really damn themselves to hell, but they want that for everybody else. They think that if everybody else is doing it, then it's okay. That is not biblical whatsoever. There's right, there's wrong. There is biblical, what God says, and then unbiblical. And it does not matter what man says about it. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says about it. It doesn't matter what the governors or the mayors or the school boards say about it. And this transgenderism is not godly, is not biblical. The homosexuality is a sin. It is an abomination before God. And, you know, if you die in that, if you openly practice it your whole life and you die in that, the wages of sin is death. And however you want to look at death, it is eternity away from Christ. And it comes for all. It does. No one escapes that, no matter what. And there is a reckoning coming.
And they push this and they're pushing it basically straight across the country, but it's on the sanctuary cities or the sanctuary places where you can take and drop off your newborns. You know, they have it. I know the first sign that I'd seen was in the was in Laramie, Wyoming, was in the Albany County Sheriff's Department. They had a sign there talking about dropping children off, and
right.
Which just blew me away. And I'm like, what in the heck is this? That's one of the things that they've added into this sex ed bill. Is how you can, it's the safe haven laws, which allows mothers to drop off their newborns at fire stations. So you want to teach kids about sex and how to have sex and make babies, but then you want to teach them how they can drop off their babies when they don't want them.
Right.
You know, I remember talking with Dad about it, and he's like, you know, sex education, he's like, that's like taking gasoline and throwing it on a fire. He's like, you know, he's like, we sure never had any problems figuring any of that stuff out.
Right.
And, you know, it's the truth. You start teaching kids about stuff, a lot of this stuff, well, they're going to try it.
Right.
The other thing that was interesting was this LGBTQ is like, you know, I noticed that they were coming out and they're the ones that were supporting it. It was, you know, this, they were saying that, one of the quotes was, I'm grateful to the supporters and sponsors for their good work to pass a sex ed bill that affirms that consent is mandatory, not regional, that LGBTQIA students are born perfect and deserve access to the same information as everyone else. Well, that was a new one on me. I mean, you know, it used to be LGB, and then you had LGBT, and then they added a Q, and then they added an I, and then they added an A, and I mean, I'm, you know, completely lost. I don't know what the Q, the I, or the A is. It's you know, it just grows like crazy, but it's you know, they're the ones that were pushing it and the ones that were you know, trying to get all this stuff passed.
Amen. Amen. You know, Remnant, one thing I would recommend that you do is make sure you visit your public library, okay? And keep an eye on their bulletin boards, because this what do they call it? Drag queen story hour and stuff. They are pushing and promoting that. And normally, you know, those people are perverts. They are sexual predators, men dressing as women and women dressing as men. And then they want to come in and read the stories of Billy has two daddies and that kind of crap to your children in the libraries. So be a watchman on the wall. Go to your public library. Make sure you have a library card. go in there and keep an eye on the bulletin boards. I do that. I'm by several times during the week, and I stop at the bulletin boards and take a look at it and see, because they'll advertise when it's coming. And if that's coming to yours, you need to pray about it if you're going to protest it. But I recommend that you do. That if you see that kind of filth coming to your public library, that you do protest it. That you do. You know, it's got to start somewhere. And that's one of the things that you can do. That's one of the ways that you know, these filthy perverts come in and they understand what they're doing. They know that if they can get our children, if they can have this cross-dressing pervert reading books to them, like mommy and daddy should be reading books to them, like the school teacher reads books to them and stuff. See, that puts that person in a position of authority, and it makes it okay with the children, and it's accepted. And they know that if they can imprint that early on in a child's mind, then they've got them. That it's, you know, they've, oh, well, then when the child grows up, well, yeah, that's okay. We've, you know, I remember growing up you know, that Fruit Loop used to read to us in the library like that. So, that's always been around. And it has not always been around. Sin has always been around, and that is a sin. But it is getting more and more in your face, and the lines are being drawn. They really are. More and more every day. And we have a choice every day whether we just accept it or whether we come against it.
Yeah, one of the things that they did in this bill, too, is it would ban the teaching of abstinence-only sex ed in public schools. You know, talking about basically, we've talked about outlaw in the Bible, but basically, you know, that's what the Bible teaches.
Yes.
And it basically outlaw in the Bible.
Yeah, you're already seeing that also, Jason, in a different light in certain towns and places that they don't talk about outlawing the Bible, but they outlaw hate speech. And then they go to define and say, well, you know, you can't speak out against these homosexuals. Well, the Bible does. The Bible says it's sin. And if you die in your sin, you're going to die. The wages of sin is death. It's as simple as that. See, that's hate speech now in some states. And so you're absolutely right. It is a multifaceted attack, war, on outlawing the Bible. On outlawing the Bible.
Yep, that's what it is.
It is. Well, it's kind of like the saying about when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. And if that's how it is, that's how it is. The Word of God is the only thing that stands true, that does not change. Men change. Leaders change. Attitudes change. Thoughts change. But the Word of God stands. And when you build your life, when you base your life on that Word of God, that's a solid rock foundation. That's what the Bible talks about when it says, you know, build your house on the rock, on that solid foundation of Jesus Christ, on the rock. Because then it doesn't matter if the economy changes. It doesn't matter if the leaders change. It doesn't matter if the Supreme Court of the United States changes. It doesn't matter if the laws of man change. When you're built on that solid rock of Jesus Christ, then you can stand. You can withstand the storms and the changes that come. And we have to do that. We have to. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us, for tuning in. And do want to invite you to join us at church in the morning. We'll start off at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we encourage you to join us there, and you can do that at scriptursforamerica.org. You can click on the live video stream. And good Lord willing, looks like it's a sunny day. I don't think the creek is going to freeze up. Roads will be open, so good Lord willing, we'll be there. Jason, thanks a lot. Have a blessed day. And Remnant, we'll hopefully see you at church tomorrow.
That's what you are.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our eyes. Disapproving. Keep on.